Under the Tuscan Sun is your latest project.
Yes.
What drew you to that film?
Having worked with the director previously on Guinevere, I knew that she was a great writer and a very sensitive director, and also knew that we were very much in the same musical wavelength. So I first read about the project when it was greenlit by Disney, and immediately got in touch with her and let her know that I was available and excited to score the project. And luckily, she hired me. That was really a great experience.
So now, having worked with Audrey Wells before, how involved does she get with the music in the film?
Very much so.
Okay.
Every director I worked with on every film, and I would say unless directors are particularly apathetic, that it would be true for any director that they want to be very much involved with the music. And these days, with the technology we have, we can preview what it would sound like with a full orchestra. So there are regular weekly meetings at my studio where I play what I've worked on for the past week for the director, and they get discussed and scrutinized in detail. And then under the Tuscan Sun, that process occurred over a period of about 6 months, mm-hmm. although it certainly wasn't weekly over 6 months. It was kind of stopping and starting. But I was involved early on that one.
Now, Under the Tuscan Sun deals with sort of an American being in Italy mm-hmm. and the like. How do you combine the two, sort of an American theme as opposed to a sort of an Italian sound?
Well, it's interesting because that's actually what we did in the movie was we had three separate through lines musically.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, the principal one, is a very clean, modern, slightly minimalist, contemporary film score sound for Diane Lane's character. Mm-hmm. The other one, the second one, is a direct homage to Nino Rota. There's mm-hmm. a character in the movie who talks a lot about Fellini, and for certain scenes with her, we really wanted to evoke the feeling that you were in a Fellini movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is a more general comedic take on the Italian, classical Italian sound, or even more, not even specifically Italian, but more continental. And I just wove these three braids basically exist independently of each other through the movie. And toward the end, I start combining them by taking the comedic Italian melody and playing it a little bit slower and over a more textural setting, and combine the two worlds.
Okay, now you mentioned Nino Rota.
Yeah.
And obviously it was an influence on your scoring for this film. Did you have one particular Nino Rota score in mind, or did you just generally be inspired by all of his work?
It was more general. I actually I actually collected some Nino Rota CDs and found one to be my favorite, which is just I don't even remember what particular CD it was, but it was like a greatest hits collection of Nino Rota scores for Fellini's movies. And I had never, my exposure to Nino Rota has basically been The Godfather, and I didn't know he had this whole other quirky, inventive side to him.
Right.
And I was just amazed when I rediscovered him by listening to his Fellini scores.
All right. Well, how would a score you write today differ from one you wrote, let's say, 10 years ago?
That's a very good question. Well, 10 years ago, it'd be interesting to ask me this question in 10 years. 10 years ago, I was just starting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an easy question now. Because when you're just starting, you haven't developed any kind of a voice. If I listened to the demos that I was sending out 10 years ago, right out of school,
mm-hmm.
You would have heard one piece that sounded like John Williams, one piece that sounded like Danny Elfman, one piece that sounded like, you know, composer X, Y, and Z, because, I hadn't had a chance to develop or mature as a composer yet, and I was just worried about getting work. And now, of course, I'm still worried about getting work, but I've had some time to focus a little bit and to figure out what I think I'm really good at and what I think I'm really not so good at, and to take advantage of that. And I think the natural result of doing that is a style,
okay.
which I hope I've achieved.
So now, as you've mentioned with the sort of your early work, at what point do you think you found your voice for a score?
It's hard. I would say even Buffy, which I'm very proud of, and I mean that's when I look back as a body of work, I can't believe the sheer quantity of it, and hopefully it's good quality as well. But even that is very traditional symphonic scoring. And certainly I have my own melodic style. I think if you listen to, for example, my wife could easily pick out any melody that I write, even if she hasn't heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I think what I bring now to the table is a very interesting sensibility, which combines the traditional orchestral setting with studio tricks and creates a new sound that way. And I think the first time I really did that was actually on a couple of early independent films that I did. One was called The Alarmist. I don't think many people saw, but it was a great little movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Guinevere, the first movie I did with Audrey as well, which was an unapologetically synthetic score, but still very lush and very organic sounding.
Well, I appreciate the time that you've given us today.
And
given
yours.
Me today, rather. And I hope your career continues on the wonderful path it's been going.
Well, thank you.